Begin the current daf Masechet Zevachim daf Kuf Ches. Begin 10 lines down by the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues explaining the halacha of our previous Mishnah, where there was a machlekes in the halacha of Hashechet V'Hamala, where if someone slaughters or sacrifices a carbon out of the Azar, where it's forbidden and he's liable for Karas. So that there was a machlekes regarding if, let's say, it was Nishchat Bachutz and Hela Bachutz. Meaning everyone agrees if it was slaughtered inside and then sacrificed outside, that one would be Chayv Halah Bachutz. But as the Gemara quotes Rebisek Lili Omer Chulu, he says that no, if it was slaughtered outside, you'll be liable for Shchutichutz, but you will not be liable if you then go and do halah and sacrifice it afterwards Bachutz, because it's pasul. It's not ro bifnim, it has to be ro bifnim to be chayiv on the outside, and once you slaughter it outside, it's really not fit. So the Chum said back to Rebisek Lili, what do you mean? Even the case that you agree on when it was slaughtered inside and then it was sacrificed outside, that you're going to be chayev. But why? Before you do the halal, you're already invalidated by yaitzi, by going out of the azara before you sacrifice. And yet there you agree that you're chayev. But why? It's already possible. Obviously, that's not a problem, and one would still be liable in all cases, say the chachamim, in halal b'chutz. So says the Gemara, Heshiv Rebbe Tachas Rabbi Yitzhak Lili. Rebbe responded, and this braisa, back to respond to the Chum for their question, and basically, which they had asked, and seemingly they're correct, what's the difference if it's slaughtered outside or slaughtered inside and then brought outside? Either way, it's invalidated before you do the halah. So, of course, in all cases, you're going to be chayiv. So that Rebbe responded for Rabbi Yisagluli that no, there's a difference. In the case where Rabbi Yisagluli agrees, when it's slaughtered inside and then sacrificed outside, at least it had a moment of viability of being eligible for being brought as a carbon when it was slaughtered inside. So is it ready at that moment to be sacrificed on the Mizbeach? And then it's brought out, okay, so then it's going to be chayv for halal b'chutz. In contrast, the case that he disagrees about, when it's slaughtered outside and then it's sacrificed outside, it never had a moment of opportunity because the carbon's only ready to be sacrificed on Mizbech first when it's slaughtered. It was already slaughtered in the state of inappropriateness outside. So there is where you're not going to have the Chiv Halal B'chutz. In contrast, yeah, although you're going to be Yoitze and take out the one that was Nishchad Bifnim, but at least it had a Shasa Kaisher, and therefore we could say that you'd be Chiv Halal B'chutz. Another response, Heshiv Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Tachas Rabbi Yisrael Lili. He gave a response for the question on Rabbi Yisrael Lili, and he said a different difference. He says, Malish Sheikhet Bifnim Mal B'chutz. In the case, Rabbi Yisrael Lili agrees when it was slaughtered in the Azara and then it was taken out and sacrificed outside. Shekin Kodesh Mikabli. Because the Beis HaMikdash Hekdesh would receive, meaning even though it was taken out, if it would be taken back in and brought back onto the Mizbech, the halacha would be, it would not come down, as the Gemara said in Perek Mizbech Mekadosh, and that Pedalim and Aleph, halon v'hayotze, all those halachas in that Mishnah, including when it goes out, although you're not supposed to put it on the Mizbech, but if you did, you're not going to take it down. So there is where we could say, okay, although it's possible, but we'll view it as a valid halah to be chayiv what you're supposed to do inside, that you be chayiv outside. In contrast, Taimim B'Sheikha B'Chutz, in the case that he disagrees with the Chum when it was slaughtered outside, She'en Kodesh Mekabloi. There, even if it was Olu, you would take it down, you would take a Yeridu, because it never had an opportunity. It's not a halacha of Im Olu Lo Yeridu. It would actually be Yeridu. And that's why one would not be Chayiv and Allah B'Chutz, according to B'Yisrael Glili, in that case. So the Gemara says, my B'nai, what's the difference between Rebbe's response and Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon's response? So Amaziri, he says, Shechitas Laila Ikebenayu. The difference is, if it was slaughtered at nighttime, according to Rebbe, if it was slaughtered the animal at nighttime in the Azara, and then it was taken outside, one's going to be Pater, because it never had a Shasa Kaisher, because it was invalidated from the moment it was slaughtered, because slaughtering at nighttime is not valid. Whereas according to Rav Elazar Rabbi Shimon, that the person who does Halal B'chutz would be Chayiv, because ultimately, Hekdesh would receive it, that it would be Im Olu L'Yeridu, because anything that becomes invalidated in the Azara, which in this case, although it was invalidated at nighttime, didn't have a Shasa Kaisher, but it was invalidated in the Azara, you would say Im Olu L'Yeridu. So therefore, in that case, according to Rabbi Elazar Shimon's interpretation, you'd be Chayiv, according to Basic Lili. Rabbi Amai says a different ramification between their interpretations is Kabbalah B'Kli Chaylik B'Nayu, also along the same lines. If it's received in an unconsecrated vessel, so you never had a Shasa Kaisher, but you would have Kodesh Mekabli, because like we said, anything that's Psula by Kodesh, where it becomes invalidated in the Azara, Hekdesh would receive it, and therefore those are two differences. If it's slaughtered at nighttime or is received in an unconsecrated vessel, where according to these two interpretations, there's going to be a difference in opinions, according to Rabbi Yisrael Glili, in this halacha, if one would be chayv in halal b'chutz or not. Now the Mishnah continued and had another machlekes between Rabbi Yisrael Glili and the Rabbanan. Tamei sha'achal, a kohen that's tamei, that he eats, bein kodesh v'chulu, chacham hold whether if the kachim is tar or tamei, either way, the kohen who has this iser, has this liability of karis, and does by mistake to bring a korban chatas, if he has tumas haguf, when he's eating kachim, whether the kachim is tar or not, he's going to be liable. Whereas the kohen basically said no. He said the liability is only when he's eating kachim that's tar. But if a kachim that's tamei, so then that's a different iser, that of kachim that's tamei, which is not liable for a chatas, and therefore he's not going to be chayav a korban chatas if the kachim that he's eating is tamei. Now, that Rabban asked him and said, wait a second, what's the difference? Even the case that you agreed to, when he's tamei and it's tar, when he's about to eat it, he picks it up, he makes it tamei already. So either way, it's going to be a case of a tamei person that's eating a tamei meat. So what's the difference in that case that you're agreeing that, oh, when the meat is tar and he's tamei, fine, then it's going to be chayef. Why? It's going to be the same case as Buster tamei the moment that he touches it before he eats it. So that says the Gemara Shabbat Kamali Rabban Le Rabbi Yisrael. Similarly, they have a very good question. What's the difference between the two cases? So Amar Rabbi says, you're right. Kol Heicha Dinitma Tumas Aguv. In a situation where the Kohen became Tamei first, V'achakach Nitma Basar, and only after that did the meat become Tamei, even if through some other means. The Kulei Amalei Pligi says, Rabbi, no one's going to disagree. Even Rabbi Yisrael is going to agree in such a case. The Chayiv. Of course, you're going to be chayiv, like the Chacham had said to basically, because what's the difference if it became tummy through his own hand as he's about to eat it, or through some other medium? No, the reason is actually because according to Reb Yesi, his halacha is based on the halacha concept known as Ein Isser Chalal Isser. One Isser cannot take effect on something that's already prohibited. You can't now prohibit it again, it's already prohibited. So in this case, of course, says Rava, where the person was tummy first before the meat became tummy. So the isra of him eating this kachim, it could be either what's called gabra chavtz, is the person is the object, he's already tamei. So his isra of eating it is already tumas aguf, which is the severe tumah being chayav b'kar mechatas. Of course he's going to agree, even if later on the piece of meat becomes tamei, that he's going to be chayav. And the reason is she came tumas aguf b'karas. He already has the liability of karas, because what came first was the first isra that made it prohibited was his tumas aguf. But says Rabbi Ki Pligi, their machlekes is bishenitma baser. First, the meat, the carbon, became tummy, and therefore the first prohibition of him eating this meat was because of the meat. Which that ister, if let's say he was tar and the meat was tummy, there is no liability of chatas on that ister. Then va'achikach nitma guf, and then the body of the kohen became tummy. Ah, that's their machlekes. The Rabban and Savri amrina migui. The Rabban hold that we say what's called migui. A halachic principle that we say, since it's this, so then we'll say with that something else. What does that mean? In this context, we're referring to what's known as the Isser Kol, that there's a prohibition that includes many other things, which therefore that could take effect on something that's prohibited. Let's say this piece of meat. This piece of meat was tummy already, so he wasn't able to eat it. Now that he's tummy, he can't eat it because he's tummy. That can't take effect. Oh, yes, it could. Why? Because now that he's tummy, every piece of kachim meat is prohibited to him, not only this meat that was tummy ready. And since it takes effect on all those other pieces of meat, it will take effect on that prohibited piece of meat also and will be included in that iser. So therefore, according to Rabbanan, even if the piece of meat became tummy first, but then when he becomes tummy, the iser will be chal and iser through a principle of iser kol, which includes other things, and therefore it's going to be a chiv of karis if he eats that piece of meat, like they said in the Mishnah. But Rabbi Yisrael Glili Sav Aloyam Rina Migur, Rabbi Yisrael Glili holds, no, we don't say this Migur principle, because Rabbi Yisrael holds that the Isser of the Tumas Haguf of the person's body cannot take effect on this piece of meat, which is already prohibited anyway because it was already tummy. Because although it's Isser Kail, which you could say, like we explained, because once he's becoming prohibited in even other pieces of tar meat, because his body's tummy, so you should say, okay, maybe this piece of meat too, he doesn't hold to that Migur principle. So therefore, the case they were asking on him from is not a proof from the case of when a tummy that eats tahar, which, yeah, there he agrees he'd be chayiv, but that has nothing to do with the case that they're discussing over here when the meat became tummy first, because in the case they're asking from, the tumas aguf came first. So you're right, when he touches it, although he's, oh, it's the same case, not the same case, because the first primary iser was tumas aguf. Of course he can be chayiv karas. Says Rabbi Yisrael, the case I'm disagreeing about is when the meat became tummy first. Then you don't say iser chal iser. So even if he later becomes tummy, it doesn't make a difference. He's only prohibited because of the tumas basar, because the later iser cannot take effect on that, and therefore it's not going to be chayiv karas, and hence it's not going to be chayiv vidaz b'shegig a kar mechatas. But the Gemara, however, still asks and said, Rabbi Yesi, and the Gemara says, Haglili, Okay, so although he does not agree for this halachic principle of migui, that since it's an isser kail, it includes other things, he's not going to say that an isser could take effect in another isser, even if it's isser kail, but still ask the Gemara, that's only when, for all things, all practical purposes, they're the same type of isser. So it's already prohibited, you can't now make it a prohibited, it's already prohibited. But ask the Gemara in this situation, tasi tumas aguf techamira v'techel. What do you mean? Even if the meat became tummy first, now that the kain became tummy, his tumas haguf, which is more severe, should take effect in this kail principle, al tumas basar, on this that was already prohibited because the meat was tummy, which, but that's more lenient. Because like the Gemara says, although he doesn't hold of Isser Chalal Isser, even through the principle of Kail, but when the second Isser is more severe, he holds that the second Isser will take effect on the first Isser through the halachic principle of Kail. Like he says in the case over there, when someone eats a Gid HaNasha, the sciatic nerve of an animal, which is prohibited, of a carbon Ayla, which the Gemara explains according to Basic Lily, one's going to be liable too, because the second Isser is more severe. So here also the Tumas Aguf, which has Karas, is more severe, even according to Basic Lily, should take effect. He says no. Who's to tell us, in this case that we're describing where he disagrees with the Chachamim, that you're not going to be Chayman on the Tumas Aguf because the Tumas Basar came first, who said that the later Tumas Aguf is more severe? You're right, this Karas, which Tumas Basar doesn't have, but Dima Tumas Basar Chamur, but we could also look at it in the sense that the Tumah of the meat is more severe. Shekein Ein Lo Tahar B'Mikvah. There's no purifying that Tumah in the Mikvah. Once the meat becomes tummy, it's totally prohibited. When his body becomes tummy, he can at least immerse in the Mikvah, in the ritual bath, and purify himself. And therefore, there's a stringency that Tumas HaBasar has, and that we can't say that Tumas HaGuf is Mochamer to take effect, and therefore we're back to the principle of Ein Isser Chalal Isser, even Al Dei Kailo, according to Basic Lili, and that's what he holds, that you're not going to be Chayiv in that situation on the Tumas HaGuf of being Chayiv Akar Mechatos. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of our Perek of HaSheikh V'Amala, the liability of doing Avodis of a carbon, Bachutz, out of the Azara. So it says the Mishnah regarding the two items that it's the topic of our parak of Shechita and Halah, which are mentioned in the Torah. Says the Mishnah, Chaymer b'Shechita mibaliyah. There's a certain stringency that applies to slaughtering outside of the Azara more than applies to the sacrificing. U'baliyah mib'Shechita, and there's a certain stringency that applies to Halah more than slaughtering, as the Mishnah explains. Chaymer b'Shechita, what's the stringency that applies to slaughtering? Isha Shechit, because when someone slaughters kachim outside, for the purposes of a consumption of lehedyit for a regular person, he's saying, I'm slaughtering so this guy, my friend Chaim, could eat it. Chayiv is going to be liable for the Issa of Shechita b'chutz, but v'amal lehedyit potter, but to be sacrificing for a person, not for Hashem, is going to be exempt, because that's not included in the Issa of Halah. Now, but Rashi does point out, there's still going to be a liability because of slaughtering it for Avodah Zarah, because he's slaughtering for a person where he's worshipping this person, but still the ramification is, although he's going to be liable, if let's say someone did it deliberately to be Avodah Zarah, but he did it, but he was erroneous in the fact of the Isra of Halah B'chutz, he's not going to bring a Karban Chatas for Hishkaga. And because Hamala B'chutz, for the Isra of Halah, although it's Avodah Zarah, but for Halah, it's not Chayiv, and there is not going to be Chayiv a Karban Chatas. And then we'll explain the reason for this Halacha. Continues the Mishnah, Chayim Ba'aliyah, a stringency that applies to sacrificing, is Shnaim Sha'achzu B'sakin V'shachetu Peturin. In contrast to the slaughtering, if let's say two people hold on to a knife and they slaughter the korban outside, there they're going to be exempt, as Gemara will explain this. But achzu be'eiver v'helu chayav, in contrast regarding halah, if let's say two people hold on to the limb and they throw it onto the fire together on that altar out of the azara, then they're going to be liable. Continues the Mishnah on these halachas, hela, chazu behela, v'chazu behela. Let's say someone from the same animal throws a piece onto the fire, then takes another piece, then takes another piece. And the Gemara that explained the understanding of this machleik is that the Mishnah quotes. And we have one opinion that says, Chayva kol aliyah divrei Rav Shimon. It says, for every sacrificing of that piece of the carbon, he's going to be liable, a separate Isser, where if it's in different lapse of awarenesses. Rabbi Yisem, he says, no, in the Chayva lachas, there's only going to be one liability. Another machleik, it says the Mishnah, the ein chayv at sheyal l'rishim esbech, the liability of halah b'chutz is only if an altar is built and prepared specifically for this carbon and it's sacrificed over there, as Yimol will explain the reason of the Tanna Kamma. Whereas Rav Shimon, he says, no, afila hela ala selo ala evan chayv, even if someone just puts it on a rock or a stone and he does the sacrifice of the carbon outside on that, he's going to be liable. It doesn't have to be an actual mesbech, an altar. So nothing more asked regarding the opening halacha of our Mishnah. Why is it that we said the stringency of Shechita over Aliyah is that Shechita, if it's done for Hedya, is going to be Chayv and Hamala is going to be Pater? So the Gemara explains, why is it different than when one is sacrificing for a common or for a regular person, the Pater is going to be exempt? Because the Pasuk says in Vayikra Yedzayin, Val Pesach Oil Moed Lebiyano, Lasas Eisel Hashem, this person who did not bring the carbon to the entryway of the Oil Moed to do it for Hashem, instead he does it outside. Now the inference is that we're talking about someone who's doing it for Hashem. So it's only when he's doing it outside for Hashem that he's going to be liable. But on that, the Gemara B'shchid Dinamik Sev L'Hashem, but regarding slaughtering, it also says, Val Pesach Oil Moed Lehivilo Hakriv Carbon L'Hashem. So you see, regarding the context of the slaughtering, it also sounds like that the liability outside is only for slaughtering L'Hashem. How can we say it's even Mehedyet? So the Gemara Shani Hasan, by the case of slaughtering, is different, because the Amakar, the Pasuk says, Ish Ish, which usually is translated as every man. But the way the Gemara is interpreting it is to say that even a ish that slaughters for an ish, if a man's slaughtering it outside for another person, he's going to be liable. And that is the Gemara Gabay Allah, and that makes a ish ish. What do you mean? By sacrificing, it also says that same terminology. So you should also say that they're liable for being mala for an ish. Says the Gemara, no. Mibayile lishnai mishahelu be'evr chayavim. That ish ish that says by Allah is necessary to say a man, to say that even if two people are together sacrificing it, being malit b'chutz, it's going to be chayav. That is Gemara then Hachinami. Here, by the case of slaughtering, also you should say that's also referring to that if two people together slaughter ish ish, that they're going to be liable. Why do you say that they're the pater, and instead you're saying that the ish ish comes to say that even if an ish is slaughtering for another ish? Says Gemara, no, kashani hasam, but slaughtering is different. You cannot interpret the ish ish to say, like we're saying by halah, to make two people liable when they're slaughtering together with the same knife. Because the Amakra, there by Shechita, the Pasuk says, Hahu. Now, the assumption of the Gemara right now is that it refers to the Pasuk, B'nichras ha'ish hahu. That person, which by Shechita is telling us that the liability is only Echad v'lishnayim, saying in the singular, one and not two, and that's how we know that it can't be liable for two together. So what's ish ish? If a man is slaughtering for another man, that they're yichayv b'shechita, but pata by Allah, in contrast to ish ish by Allah, is telling us that two are chayv if they do Allah together, in contrast to the Shechita. And that is the Gemara Yachi, but if that's the case, Gabay Allah nami hokseb ahu. But then, how can you say that two people are liable by the Shechita? Because it's by two people are not liable by the Shechita because it says Hahu, it's one person. But by Allah, you're saying two are Chayiv, there it also says Hahu. So the Gemara, no, by Allah, the Hahu is necessary to teach us a different Allah, as we continue to Beis. It's Lemu'uti, he's coming to exclude if he does it Shagig, erroneously, honest, he's coerced, Umuta, or mistaken. As the Brisa expounds this in Taras Kainim, whenever it says the word Hahu, Havaya, in the context of the nichras, in regards to getting karas, it means that it has to be the person is bahaviyasai, in his present state, meaning in consciousness. In conscious, not if he was forced, not if he made a mistake by himself, which is the term shagaga, and not if he was misled by others, which is the term of mutta. That's what he was teaching Baha'u'llah. But not to say it has to be one person. Yeah, the liability is even two people. On that is the Gemara, if that's the case, then Hachanami, then hereby slaughtering also, you're saying it says Hahu, that's how we know it says you can't be liable for two. Why? Mibaye, you need it by Hahu by Shechita, Lemu'ute on the Shagig Muta. So how do you know to exclude that to say two people not going to be Chayiv by the Shechita? Says the Gemara, no, Tre Hahu Ksiv. There's two Hahus that says by Shechita. One is going to exclude Ayin Shagig Muta, and the other one is going to exclude that it can't be two that's Chayiv, it has to be only one person, because it says another pasuk in Shechita, Dami Chashav Le'ish Hahu, so it's two pesukim. But then as the Gemara, Ve'el Lashem, so then this that it does say Lashem by the Shechita, if you're not going to use it to say that it's coming to exclude if it's done for Hedges, because you're saying by Shechita, you are liable even saying by Hedges, not just for Lashem, so then Lamali, why does it say Lashem by the Shechita? Says the Gemara, Lo Haitzi Sar HaMishtalech, it's coming to exclude the Sar LaZazel, the he-goat on Yom Kippur that's sent to the cliff that's thrown off as a live animal, because the understanding of the Pasuk when it says LaHashem is coming to tell us that this liability is only something that's fit to sacrifice for Hashem. Then if you don't do it inside, you can be chayv if you do it outside. But a carbon which is not fit to do it inside for Hashem, which is like LaZazel, which is not done in the Beis HaMikdash, it's thrown off a cliff, that there's not going to be a liability if you sacrifice it outside. As the Gemara later on in the Afkof Yigimel Mabeis, in the last parak, expounds the Tana Brisa expounds it in the same way. Now Rashi does point out, however, although this Lashem says by Shechita, and the Lashem L'Halah we actually used to say only for Hashem and not for a Hedyot, but actually this Halach of saying that it does not apply to Sar Mishtalech by Shechita actually also does not apply by Halah. because actually the laws of Shechita and Law, we actually learn that one from the other. As the previous daf had said, that there's an Eruv Parshis, we compare the two halachas of Shechita and Halah, except for the two exceptions that our Mishnah talks about, but everything else, whether for exemption or whether for liability, they actually have the same halacha, and therefore the exemption of Sarsh HaMishtalech would be not only for exempt of slaughtering outside, but also for sacrificing outside. Now the Gemara continues with the halacha of our Mishnah that said, Chayma Ba'alah V'chul, we said the stringency that the sacrificing has outside, is that the liability is even if you do two together in contrast to the Shechita. So Tarnbon Luna Braisa expounds on this and says, Ish Ish, by Halah, it says, Ish Ish. So Matamalam, what's the extra word Ish coming to tell us? It says, the Braisa, L'rabba Shnaim She'achzu Be'aver Be'helu She'chayavin. It's coming to include even if two people together, Ish, Ish, a man and a man, that they're holding onto the limb and they throw it onto the fire, that they're going to be liable. Because says the Braisa Sheyachal, because one would think that Vahalay Dinu, actually logic would tell us that actually if two people do it together, they should not be liable for Halah. Why? Umaha Sheikh Lehad Yitzchayev, if regarding if someone does the slaughtering outside, but he does it not for Hashem when he's doing it outside, he does it for a regular person. The Halach is, as we said in the Mishnah, that's the stringency of Shechita, that there's a liability, and yet still Shnaim She'achzu B'Sakim She'achzu P'turin, if two people together slaughter, even though the Shechita is very severe, it's liable even for Hedyot. But if two people together are slaughtering it outside, they're going to be exempt, as we taught before from the word Hahu. So Amal LeHedyot Shepatus, so regarding if someone does Halah, for a Hedyot he's exempt, it's not a severe Shechita. Ain't a Dinsha Shnaim She'achzu P'turin, isn't it a Kabbal Chayimah that if two people together are doing the Halah that they should be exempt? On that time, alayma, ish, ish, that's why you need to have the extra word ish to say, even two people together, that you're going to be liable for Allah, that's the Reb Shimon. Reb Yaisi, however, he disagrees on the halacha of our Mishnah, like we said, Reb Shimon holds. He learns, no, it says hahu ba'halah, like we mentioned before, and he learns, just like by Shechita, he learns hahu ba'halah, is echad v'lay shnayim, it only applies to one person doing it, and not to two people. But then the question is, ish, ish, then what does the term ish, ish come to tell us? Seemingly, we were saying that's coming to say one man, two men. That says the Gemara, no, Dibur Torah Kol Hashem in the Adam, he holds that the Torah talks the way people talk. Ish Ish is every single man, but it doesn't come to include if two men do Halah. Two do it, they're Pater, because it says Hahu has to be one person, just like by Shechita. For Shimon, however, he would tell you, Hai Hahu mi Baile, like we said before. He learns Hahu by Allah is coming to say, Lemu'ute Shaykh, Aina Samut, it's coming to exclude. If he's not in this Havaya, if he's not in this conscious state, then he's not going to be liable. For Yasi, he says, you're right, but Mehu Hahu. He makes two drushes from that word Hahu. There's the word hu and hahu. And one is coming to exclude shaygig anya samutta, another one's coming to say it has to be one person, not two people. But Reb Shimon, hu hahu lai darsh, doesn't expound two drushes from that pasuk, and therefore he only learns one for anya shaygig amutta, and therefore he doesn't exclude two people from the liability of doing halal bachotz. Now, the Gemara asks, but Reb Yasi, midahai ish ish, from the fact that, as we just said, he holds, that when it says by halal ish ish, it's Dibur Torah Kol Hashem in the Adam. We're not darshaning anything from there. The Torah talks the way people normally do, which is in redundant terminology. But then, Hahu, then the same that it says Hahu by Shechita, Ish, that says Hahu Ish Ish, Nami, when it says by Shechita Ish Ish, also Dibur Torah Kol Hashem in the Adam. There also the Torah is just talking the way people normally talk. So then we're back to the question, then where do we know if one slaughters bachutz for a person, not for Hashem, that is Michaev? We originally have said the source was from Ish Ish. If a man does it for a man, but he doesn't learn the term Ish Ish as a ribui. He says that's just the way the Torah talks, like we see by Allah, so the Meshchita too. So what's the source for Sheikh Lehedya to be Chayev? Says the Gemara, right, he has a different source. Nafkele midami chashiv le'ish hahu dam shafach. That it's going to be considered as blood for that person he has spilled that blood, which is by the context of doing the Shechita Bachutz, which tells us, what is it, le'ish? B'afal ha'sheikh le'ish, that even if someone slaughters for a person, that then it's going to be dam shafach, then he's going to be liable for this isser of Shechita Bachutz. Now the Mishnah continued with another machlekes, hella v'chazer v'hella v'chulu, if they brought up a part of the animal, then did another action, so it's a machlekes if there's going to be liability for every single halal, or one liability for all the halos together. So there's a machlekes how to qualify the machlekes in our Mishnah. Amar Shlokesh, he says, machlekes bedal behevarm. The machlekes in the Mishnah is regarding four or five different limbs of the same animal. What's the machlekes? The Ma'ar Sab Reb Yisi, who held that there's only going to be one liability, is ki ksiv lasas oisai, and we mentioned this drush in the previous daf, when it says to do it, which we had said means it, sounds like Allah Shalom Huchayim. The liability is only on the whole thing, it. Then you're liable, Ve'in Echayim Al Chaser, and you're not liable if it's lacking. What's it going on? Akol behemaksib. It's going on the entirety of the animal. Meaning, one is only liable for halah b'chutz only if he brings up and sacrifices the whole animal. But he's not liable if he just brings up one limb. So therefore, even if he keeps on putting and putting and putting, of course he's only be liable one iser because it's the whole animal that's one iser. And it's only if you put up the whole animal. So it's going to all be considered as one halah, and therefore chayv only one. But Amar Sav Rabbi Shimon, who held that you can be chayv for each separate halah, I call Eva ve'evaksiv. He holds when it says oisai, what has to be intact, whole? Every limb. But it's not going on the whole animal. So therefore, yeah, for every limb you put on, you can be chayv a separate iser of halah, as long as that limb is intact. But Aval Aver Echad, but says the Resh Lakish. But if let's say it's one limb, which is sacrificed in halves, which as Rashi has two interpretations, either after all the limbs were sacrificed, and then there's only this limb left, then he does this in halves, because if we were talking about a case when they only sacrificed that one limb, then even if it was whole, Rabbi Yisi would hold that you're exempt, as Resh Lakish is explaining. Or Rashi says you could say it's talking about where it had been put on the fires and then it burst off the fires and fell on the floor, so it was only part of it left, and now that part of that limb was put back on. That says Resh Lakish divrei hakolei in the chayv la'achas. Everyone's going to agree that there's only going to be one liability for that limb, because everyone agrees it says oisai has to be intact and you're not chayv for part. The only machlokes was, says Resh Lakish, what has to be intact? What is the iser halah for? The entirety of the animal or the entirety of the limb? Rabbi Yisi holds entirely the animal, and therefore only chayv one for the whole animal, no matter how many times you put it up, because we're talking about one carbon. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says every limb is its own entity, and there'll be a chayv for each limb separately. That's one interpretation. Rabbi Yechonam, he says, no, machlik is be'ever echad. The case that Resh Lakish said, everyone agrees that you only be liable for one, says Rabbi Yechonam, no, that's the case that they disagree. Because, says Rabbi Yechonam, everyone agrees that when it says in the Torah, oisai it, it's going on each limb individually. So what's their machlikis? The Mar, Rabbi Shimon, who held you can be chayv for every many halos that you do, Sarbi, he holds that muktri pnim shechasru, and we had mentioned this halacha in the previous daf, regarding karbanis that were slaughtered inside, and then they became lacking. The hel abachotz, and then you bring it up outside, meaning you sacrifice it outside, that chayiv, that then there's going to be a liability. Now why? And this is the svar that we had mentioned in the previous daf, because when there is a limb that's put onto the Mizbeach, in the Azara, when the fires shoot it off, and it's only part of a limb, the halacha is that you put that limb back onto the Mizbeach, even though it's lacking. So, therefore, says Rabbi Shimon, even in this one limb that it's lacking, but since this was sacrificed inside, now that it's lacking and you'd sacrifice the rest of it outside, it still is considered as a significant haktarah to be liable, even though it's not whole. Because as Rashi explains, according to Rabbi Yechon's interpretation in Rabbi Shimon, although it says Eisai, he learns Eisai that it has to be whole, is not going on the animal or even the limb. It's talking about only those which are sacrificed outside, they have to be whole. But those that are sacrificed inside? No, inside is different. Inside we validate even a partial limb, as we see in the halacha, when it's sacrificed and it burst off part of the limb, you have to put it back on. So if instead of putting it back on, you would now go bring it outside, you're going to be liable. But Remar Savapater, but Rabbi Yesi held that no, you're going to be exempt. Because as we brought the opinion of Rabbi Shimon in the previous daf, who Rashi says Rabbi Yesi is going like, he learns out from the pasuk of Lo Yivyano that you have to have it whole, not only that which is sacrificed outside, but even that which is hukter bifnim, that those limbs also have to be whole to be liable if it's being sacrificed on the outside. So the Sarez Reb Yechon, and their machlekes is regarding one limb. Again, specifically those that were hooked to Bifnim. Ava Badal Vehei Evaren, but Sarez Reb Yechon, regarding four or five different limbs, everyone's going to agree that you can be liable for each Ever individually. Now, says the Gemara, this interpretation of Reb Yechon that we just quoted is Upliga de Ula. This agrees with how Ula says it. Because the Amma Ula, he says, Hakol Maidim, everyone agrees, Bemukhtere Penim. If it was sacrificed on the Mizbech in the Azar, Shachasru, that's lacking, like we said, how did it get lacking? Because the fire consumed part of it, it burst off the Mizbech. The Halabachot, and then the rest of it was sacrificed outside, says Ula, everyone agrees, Shechayiv, that you are going to be liable. Not like Rabbi Yechon, who just said that's the Machlekes. It says Ula, no, everyone agrees that you'd be liable in that case. Because it's significant in the like the way Rabbi Yochanan said in Rabbi Shimon, it's significant how it's sacrificed in the Mizbeach, so it's going to be considered a valid Akhtar to be Chayiv for doing it outside. We're talking about a case, but it was that it was put on the altar out of the Azara, and it was consumed by the fire. Shechesu, and therefore the part of the limb was lacking, and then it burst off. Then the Hele B'chutz, then was put back on outside. That's where their machlekes is. The Marasa B'pat Rabbi Yisrael, you're going to be exempt, because outside, a half a limb, what significance that it has? It's not Oisai. Well, Marasa B'chayev, but Rabbi Shimon held that, no, even in that case, there's going to be liability. Why? How do you interpret the word Oisai? In the first version of this, like according to B'yechon, we said, okay, Oisai is only on Evorim B'chutz, but Evorim B'fnim, those which were sacrificed inside, they don't have to be Oisai, they don't have to be Shalom, because we see that's considered Akhtar. But according to this interpretation, then what is Oisai? So that says Rashi, according to this interpretation of Ula, of this first version of Ula, Reb Shimon would hold that when it says Oisai, it's coming to exclude if it's less than the Kazayas. Because what does it mean Oisai has to be intact? It means that the haktara, what you're sacrificing, has to be complete, has to be whole, as the Gemara is going to expound later on, which is excluding if it's not the share of a kezias. That's what Oisai is excluding. But to be whole? No, it doesn't even have to be a whole limb. Even what's sacrificed outside, and then falls off, and then you put it back on, the Kohen Rebshim, you're going to be chayv, and therefore you chayv for every halal, no matter even if they're parts of the same limb. Now, Ikudyami, those who say a different version, that Amma Ula Ula says, no, the other way around. Hakol Maidim Ebon agrees, b'muktri chutz shechasru. If we're talking about that limbs that were sacrificed outside, and they're already not a whole limb, then they fell off, the hell of a chutz, and then they're put back on outside, shu pater. No, everyone agrees in that case that even Reb Shim would agree that it's going to be exempt. Lo'inechliku el v'mukhtri penim. We're talking about the machlekes is regarding when they were sacrificed inside, on the mizbech, the one that we know in the Azar, shechasu, which became lacking, the fire consumed part of it, fell off. The halabachutz, and then was sacrificed outside. So essentially, the second version of Ula is saying, just like Rabbi Yechanan said, where that's the machlekes, the maras of a patra, maras of a chayv. So according to this version, he's not disagreeing with Rabbi Yechanan. The same thing, that one opinion is going to say he's exempt, one is going to say he's chayv. That's the machlekes of Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Shimon regarding if it's hooked to bifnim, and then you halabachutz, if you chayv on part of a limb. Now, says the Gemara, Upligi davu de Shmuel alishna kama de Ula. The father of Shmuel, which in a sense is like Rabbi Yechanan, and like the second lishna of Ula, he disagrees with the first version of Ula, but he says a little different. He says, the Amar vude Shmuel, and we know that he disagrees because the father Shmuel said as follows. He says, Keman mahadrinan paikin. According to whom are we going like that when a part of a limb burst off the fire of the Mizbeach and Azara, that we put it back onto the fire? That we put it back, legabi mizbeach, onto the altar. So that said the father Shmuel, come on, who's that like? It's obviously the like Rabbi Yisi, it's not like Rabbi Yisi. Why? Because if it would be like Rabbi Yisi, since if you're saying when it's inside, you're saying they could be sacrificed, even if they're lacking, you're saying that if it burst off the fire, only part of the limb, you would put it back on, then also on the outside of one does halal, one should be chayiv in the case of muktori penim, that were chasru in halabachotz. Obviously, we see the father Shmuel holds that Rabbi Yisi regarding Muktrei Panim, that Bechasru and Halabachot, that's the case that he disagrees and that he says that you're going to be Potter. Why are you going to be Potter? Because they're not B'nai Akhtar. And therefore, according to him, you're not going to put it back onto the fire when there's only part of a limb that flew off. So therefore, that's like the second version of Ula. That's like, in the sense, like Rabbi Yechanan, meaning that the Machlekes is regarding the case, at least, of Muktori Penim Shechasu V'Elabachutz, not like the first version of Ula, which was saying that, no, the Machlekes is only by, if they were Hukter B'chutz, V'Elabachutz. But that everyone agreed in the case of Helabachnim, on that we see that, no, Rabbi Yisrael, that we see the Father Shmuel is not like that first version, it is rather in that sense, like Rabbi Yechanan, that the Machlekes is regarding Hukter Penim Shehelabachutz. Now the Gemara continues with another machlekes in our Mishnah that said, "Ve'ein chayv ad she'al v'chulu." The Tanakhama said the liability of hela b'chutz is only going to be if it's on a real bona fide altar, whereas the Reb Shimon said that no, it's even on a rock. So explains the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna says, "My time, Rebbe, what's the reason, Rebbe, that has to be a real mizbech? Because the Chsiv, we find the pasuk says in Parashas Noach, v'yiv Noach mizbech l'Hashem, that Noach built an altar for Hashem. So we see that even though it was a private altar that he was doing outside, not on the base of Migdash, what's called b'chutz, it was not considered a halah to bring a sacrifice, which, yeah, there was permitted and it was allowed, but we see it's not considered halah without a mizbech. So too, for the isra of Allah, it also has to be with a mizbech. Now, that Rabbi Yechanan says, this is my time with Rabbi Shimon. What's the reason Rabbi Shimon that says the liability is even on the rock? Because there's a pasuk that says in Sefer Shoftim, V'yikach Manoach es kedi ha'izim es ha'mincha. Manoach took the kid goats and the flower offerings. V'yala latzur l'Hashem, and he put it onto the rock for Hashem, which was without an altar that was built and designated for that. And you see, it was called halah. You see, there was v'yal. So you see, the halah is even without a mizbech. So I asked the Gemara, V'idach Nami, but Rabbi Shimon also, for Ksiva Yivin Mizbech L'Hashem, what does it do with the pasuk of Rabbi Yisi that it says, you see, Noach had to have an actual altar? So the Gemara, now who gave a ba'alma? The reason why he made a Mizbech was only to have some height, like people usually do, that you want to be easy to be able to manipulate the carbon, but it's not because he had an obligation to make a Mizbech, it's even on the rock. V'idach Nami asked the Gemara, but Rabbi Yisi also, for Ksiva Yikach Manoach, what does it do with Rabbi Shimon's pasuk that you see, Manoach did on a rock? So the Gemara, Hayra Shahi, so that was a temporary provision which was dictated by the malach, by the angel, to do that, and therefore that was what was in that case. But generally, as he brought his pasuk, it has to be a mizbech to be considered halah b'chutz, whether when permitted or whether to be chayiv on the iser. Says the Gemara v'ibay, if you want, you could say haintam de b'shimin. The reason of b'shimin is from a different source. Katan like within the b'raiser b'shimin, he says pasuk says miyikra mizbech pesach oil ma'id. And as the b'raiser in Teres Kohen expounds this pasuk according to b'shimin, it says in the pasuk the bezarka kohen es adam al mizbeach Hashem, that the Kohen will throw the blood on the altar of Hashem, Pesach El Moed, which is in the entryway of the Oil Moed. So what you see is that when they have a mizbeach, when it's Pesach El Moed, but there is no halacha of mizbeach at a time when bamas are permitted, and this is said in the context of the parsha of being Ma'al B'chutz. So you see that lefikach, therefore, hela ala sela, oil evan chayim, that if one goes and does halah on a rock or a stone, that he's going to be liable, because the requirement of a mizbech is only Pesach El Moed, not a private altar which a person can make wherever he wants to. Now that is the Gemara, but wait a second. Since you're interpreting this braisa, that when it's saying a mizbech b'bama, you're saying, meaning at a time when bamas are permitted, that you don't need a mizbech, but if that's the case, so yatsmi b'leit. Instead of saying chayv, it should say that he has fulfilled his obligation of doing a carbon on the private bama, which was allowed at those times, even though that it doesn't have a mizbeach. Why does it say chayiv? Says the Gemara, Hachakam, the Gemara reads the Braisa as follows. Now, lefikach, therefore, since we're saying that a bama, a private altar, at times when private altars were permitted, we're saying it's considered a bona fide sacrifice, even though it's not a mizbeach. So therefore, b'shas isa bamas, when bamas are forbidden, which is the isra of Allah b'chutz, then halal asel or eleven chayv. Therefore, you can be chayv for that type of halal, because we see to be considered halal b'chutz, whether when it's permitted to be mekayma a mitzvah, or when it's forbidden to be over on the isr, it's even without a mizbeach, even on just a rock. Now, related to this halacha, Boyer B'risa Bar B'chanina says, Karen, the obligation that a mizbeach has to have the corners, the kevish, and that it has to have a ramp, the yisayin, and that it has to have a foundation, the ribu, and this, that it has to be squared, which, as the Gemara said on the Samach Bezer Manalav and Perakot Shekachem, which all these things are ma'akiv, they're integral for the validity of a mizbeach that's in the Mishkan. Ma'ushi akva b'bama, what's the halacha? Will they be integral for the halacha of a private altar? That does it also have to have these things to be considered a valid bama? So Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyahu, Rabbi Yirmiyahu said to him, Tanya, we learn this in the Braisa. The Braisa says, Karen v'kevish ribu v'yisoid, these four halachas of having the corners and the ramp and being squared and having foundation, ma'akvin b'bama gedayla, it's integral for the public bama, which means to say even the noivin given, which those were public bamas, and for sure in Shilei and the Beis HaMikdash, which those are the public bamas, meaning those are the real mizbeches, that's where those things are integral. But the aim ma'akvin b'bama gedayla, but they're not integral for a private altar, a private altar person makes, even if one's going to say it needs a mizbech, it does not need these things to be mekayim the obligation of being considered a bama, and hence the liability, the halachas of that bama will apply even if it doesn't have those integral elements that apply to the mizbech in the bama gedayla, and for sure those that are in the mizbech in the Mishkan.